Welcome back to Sleepy Stories Podcast, the podcast designed to help you fall asleep. This episode is a little bit different from the others. I'm not indoors. I'm actually walking around outside right now. It's a beautiful sunny day, and you'll get to hear squirrels running around, acorns falling down, maybe even cars starting, people walking their dogs, planes in the sky. It's beautiful. I love nature. You'll get to enjoy all this while we read from Lewis Carroll tonight. And please keep sending in your requests. We love going through them. We love reading them and hearing what's important to you. Our email is sleepystoriespod@gmail.com. sleepystoriespod@gmail.com. The first poem tonight is Jabberwocky, followed by The Walrus and the Carpenter. Before I recorded Jabberwocky, I figured it'd make sense to at least listen to it first. If you're familiar with the poem, it's a bunch of made-up words. But before I researched anything, I realized it's a nonsense poem. It wouldn't make any sense for me to read it first and see how everybody else pronounces it. So for this episode, you'll get my version of Jabberwocky. And now it's that time. Now it's time to fall asleep. Put all the cares and worries of today aside. We can deal with them tomorrow. But tomorrow starts right now, with a good night's sleep. Was Brillig and the Slithy Toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son. The jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the furious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in oofish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. One, two, one, two, and through, and through. The vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head, he went gallumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, Calloo, Calais. He chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe, all mimsy were the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. The sun was shining on the sea, shining with all his might. He did his very best to make the billows smooth and bright. And this was odd because it was the middle of the night. The moon was shining sulkily because she thought the sun had got no business to be there after the day was done. "It's very rude of him," she said, "to come and spoil the fun." The sea was wet as wet could be. The sands were dry as dry. You could not see a cloud because no cloud was in the sky. No birds were flying overhead. There were no birds to fly. The walrus and the carpenter were walking close at hand. They wept like anything to see such quantities of sand. "If this were only cleared away," they said, "it would be grand. If 7 maids with 7 mops swept it for half a year." "Do you suppose," the walrus said, "that they could get it clear?" "I doubt it," said the carpenter, and shed a bitter tear. "Oh, oysters, come and walk with us," the walrus did beseech. "A pleasant walk, a pleasant talk, along the briny beach. We cannot do with more than 4 to give a hand to each." The eldest oyster looked at him, but never a word he said. The eldest oyster winked his eye and shook his heavy head, meaning to say he did not choose to leave the oyster bed. But 4 young oysters hurried up, all eager for the treat. Their coats were brushed, their faces washed, their shoes were clean and neat. And this was odd because, you know, they hadn't any feet. 4 other oysters followed them, and yet another 4. And thick and fast they came at last, and more and more and more, all hopping through the frothy waves and scrambling to the shore. The walrus and the carpenter walked on a mile or so, and then they rested on a rock conveniently low. And all the little oysters stood and waited in a row. "The time has come," the walrus said, to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot, and whether pigs have wings. But wait a bit, the oysters cried, before we have our chat, for some of us are out of breath, and all of us are fat. No hurry, said the carpenter. They thanked him much for that. A loaf of bread, the walrus said, is what we chiefly need. Pepper and vinegar, besides, are very good indeed. Now, if you're ready, oysters dear, we can begin the feed. But not to us, the oysters cried, turning a little blue. After such kindness, that would be a dismal thing to do. The night is fine, the walrus said. Do you admire the view? It was so kind of you to come, and you are very nice. The carpenter said nothing, but cut us another slice. I wish you were not quite so deaf. I've had to ask you twice. It seems a shame, the walrus said, to play them such a trick. After we've brought them out so far and made them trot so quick. The carpenter said nothing, but the butters spread too thick. I weep for you, the walrus said. I deeply sympathize. With sobs and tears, he sorted out those of the largest size. Holding his pocket handkerchief before his streaming eyes. O oysters, said the carpenter, you've had a pleasant run. Shall we be trotting home again? But answer came there none. And this was scarcely odd, because they'd eaten every one. Till next time, good night.